I am proud that I have reached an age where I felt like I could wear a jacket with blue jeans, but I still wore a t-shirt because I'm still holding on to something that long passed me by. But I'm not ready to let it go yet. If you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 15 through 21. I think that's where we left off last. There, Paul's going to write Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. And Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Did you realize that all the things we do, of course, take time? We make time, we take time for things that are important to us. We save time with things, with all kinds of gadgets and doodads that we have. We mark time, we kill time, we race against time. And someone once said that the worst thing you can do with time is waste time. I might argue with them a little bit on that, but just a little bit. One little girl complained to her mother after a week at school that, "I'm wasting my time. I can't read, I can't write, and they won't even let me talk." I know how that little girl feels. Well, in the text this evening, we read that we need to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Now, if I just read that in the ESV, I would kind of think that Paul was simply saying, don't waste your time. But it's more than that. The Greek word that Paul uses here means to redeem the time. It's the same word that Paul uses in Galatians 3:13 when he said, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." And to redeem means to purchase, to buy, to obtain by making a payment. Paul is telling us that our time is so crucial, so critical, that we must treat it valuable and precious, and we must not let it be squandered or wasted. We must redeem the time, he says, but why? Why is it so critical about time that it must be redeemed? Well, most of us would think that the reason is valuable because we only have so much of it. Sooner or later, it's going to run out for all of us. Now, you may be blessed to live to be 80 or 90 or 100, but again, sooner or later, time runs out for all of us, so don't waste your time. But that's not really what Paul is saying here. Redeem the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? Well, think of it this way. Do you have a bucket list? Of course, a bucket list is a lot of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket. And what people have on their bucket list tells you a lot about their priorities. They want to go to Europe or make a hole in one or swim with the dolphins or go deep sea fishing or meet a famous person, jump out of a plane, maybe jump out of a plane after meeting a famous person. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, except maybe jumping out of an airplane, but Will and William would disagree with that. It's a wish list. And God, of course, is okay with that kind of thing. But he warns us not to be foolish. He warns us not to leave one thing off that list. And that one thing is not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. Everything you put on your bucket list is just for fun. But this one, this understanding the will of the Lord, this is a serious one. We live in an evil time, and the choices we make have eternal consequences. We live in a world of evil. Now, all you got to do is turn on your TV or log into Facebook. You know things are not right. It's an evil world, and God has saved you and I to do something about it. And that something that he saved us to do is for us to shine our little light into the dark world. Paul says back in Ephesians 5 verse 8 that at one time you were darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then in verse 10 he says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Jesus would say you are the light of the world. And that means you and I are called to reflect his light in this dark world. And the only way we're going to do that effectively is to understand what God's will is. So how do we do that? How do we learn God's will? Well, you kind of think the answer would be read your Bible and memorize large swaths of Scripture and meditate on God's Word day and night. And that's good stuff because that's what God expects us to do. But the problem is if that's all you do, if all you do is immerse yourself in Scripture, you could end up like the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew more about their Bible than most of us, but there was something missing in their lives. And so, in place of asking to memorize and meditate, Paul writes, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery," meaning lacking salvation, "but be filled with the Spirit." Well, what is he talking about here? Well, he's saying that in order for us to fully understand God's will, we must be totally controlled by God's Spirit. And then he makes an odd comparison. Don't get drunk with wine. And that seems illogical, I guess, until maybe we kind of understand what he's trying to say. You can usually tell a person's drunkenness by the way they walk and the way they talk and by the way they think and how they act. Everything about their drunkenness is obvious by their behavior. They are filled with alcohol, and it controls them. By contrast, Paul says, don't be filled with alcohol. Don't fill yourself up with something, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit should so fill you that it controls how you walk and talk and think and act. As Christians, we need to try to be filled with the Spirit of God so that people can see our behavior. So how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first we need to understand that as Christians, we already have the Spirit inside of us. Acts 2:38 promises that if we repent and are baptized, that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:14 that God's Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. You can't be a Christian without God's Spirit inside you. And so, first we have to realize that we already have the Spirit inside of us. But here in Ephesians, Paul says that we need to be refilled with the Spirit. Well, what's that all about? First, let's kind of examine what Paul tells us to do, and then maybe let's try to explain why it's important. Paul says, first, in order for us to be filled with God's Spirit, number one, we need to sing. We should be addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. To realize that singing and music has the power to control us. Now for you all, maybe not for you all, but for me, is there anything better to wallow in self-pity than to have a soundtrack with it? Man, I love depressing music and listening to sad music, but music feeds our emotions. And Paul says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making and melody to the Lord with your heart. And the Bible teaches us that singing and music has even more power than that. If we go back to the Old Testament, music has power over the spirit world. One of the greatest singers in the Bible, of course, was a little shepherd boy named David. The book of Psalms has 150 songs or psalms that the Jews sang, and David wrote half of them. And he was good at singing and playing the harp, and people began paying attention. In the meantime, King Saul, the king of Israel, had decided to stop listening to God and run the kingdom his own way. And so God withdrew his spirit from him, and then King Saul became plagued with an evil spirit. He plunged into depression, and that evil spirit so tormented King Saul that on the advice of his friends, he sent for David to sing to him. And we're told there in 1 Samuel 16:23 that David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Singing, music has the power over evil. It has the power over the spirit world, and it has the power to bring peace to my heart and to your heart. And when we're depressed and struggling, it's probably better to find a song that glorifies God and sing that. It doesn't matter if you can sing well or with much power. The point is finding something that glorifies God and singing it. Use the power of God's music to lift your soul out of despair and sadness. Second, Paul tells us that in order to be filled with God's Spirit, we need to give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how often should we give thanks? Paul says always, and for what? We should give thanks for everything. There's a lot of people who have a hard time doing that. I'm a guy that I can sit up here and tell you that I deal and struggle with depression. And I'll often give myself some homework. I try to write 10 things down that I'm thankful for. And sometimes 10 things can be hard. It can be a struggle. But if I took a tablet and I wrote down the things that I was unhappy about or disappointed with or frustrated about, I could fill that entire tablet of paper and ask you for a second. Why? Why are people so unhappy? Well, I think sometimes it's because folks aren't used to being thankful for what they have. For example, they don't express thankfulness for the fact that maybe just that they have two hands. Why should they? They've always had those two hands, and they've always had the ability to run and laugh and hear and see and sing. Why be grateful for those things? A lot of times people focus on what they don't have. They dwell on wanting a better this or a better that. And that can lead to depression. There's always going to be stuff that we don't have or that we can't possess. And so sometimes people end up being miserable or unhappy. Paul tells the church in Philippi in Philippians 4:4-7 to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. We should learn to be grateful for what we have and not focus on what we don't have, and so be filled with God's Spirit, that it will change how you think and how you behave, and the world around will notice that. Now, there is a third thing that Paul mentions, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about that next week. But I want to close by just explaining why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about how we could do that, but why is kind of critical too. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a powerful force. He teaches us. He comforts us. He helps us in our prayers when we don't know what to say. In Romans 8:11, that tells us that we have the same power living in us that raised Jesus from the dead. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Being filled with the Spirit is all about laying hold of the full power of the Spirit of God. You see, in order for the Spirit to fully operate in our lives, we've got to make our hearts decent places for Him to reside. For example, if I invite you over to my house, but when you come, the first thing you see are clothes scattered everywhere and the dishes piled up in the sink or all over the counters. I've got cats all over the place, maybe 30 or 40 of them, and I haven't cleaned up after them for weeks. Now, how comfortable are you going to be sticking around my house? How willing are you going to be to spend time and share with me? I probably wouldn't with you, so I'm expecting you would not with me. The same is true for having the Spirit filling our lives. If we don't clean up our lives by filling our hearts with singing and praise and such, God's Spirit is not going to feel comfortable with us. When we begin to sing songs about God's glory and train our hearts to be grateful and filled with thanks, then God's Spirit can be comfortable inside of us and able to work His power fully in our lives. But of course, that's only if you're a Christian. If you don't belong to Jesus, His Spirit isn't going to be inside of you anyway. And that's why you need to respond to this free gift of salvation. Again, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. If you need prayers from the congregation, now would be an opportune time as together we stand and sing.